If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book that everybody reads from every day, the book of Habakkuk. Go to the book of Matthew and go back about three streets, and you'll find where he's at. But I come to encourage you today. I come to lift you up. I come to give you hope. Hello?
Yes.
I said, I come to give you hope.
Yes.
Come to give you encouragement.
Yes.
Come to strengthen you.
Yes.
And help you to understand and realize that God has not forsaken you.
Yes.
He hasn't left us alone. So if you have your Bibles, the book of Habakkuk, beginning at chapter 1, verse number 1. And again, glean to every word. That this is a short book from the minor prophet Habakkuk, but it is filled with riches and it is so relevant to where we are today. The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. O Lord, how long shall I cry? And thou wilt not hear, even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. Why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slacked, and judgment doth not go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous, therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. Father God in heaven, let the Holy Spirit come down upon this place and quicken our hearts and our minds. Lord, our ears to hear, our hearts to receive, and let your name be lifted up. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. I will do my dead level best not to get political today, but to help you understand that the dilemma that Habakkuk was in is so much like the dilemma that we are in today. The relevance of this chapter or this book is overwhelming. In as I studied and looked into it, it is overwhelming. And it doesn't matter if we're Republican or Democrat or anything in between. The point of the matter is today that evil has taken hold of our country and of our land and our laws and are playing havoc with the righteous. And that's exactly what was happening in Habakkuk's day. Judah was living an ungodly life. And how much ungodliness do we see in our country and in our world, in the United States of America today? Ungodliness is on every street corner, and it seems like lawlessness has completely taken over. And that's exactly what the burden of Habakkuk was about and what he was saying. And again, Habakkuk lived in a time a lot like where we are right now. In fact, it's so close together. Habakkuk was talking to God and he was saying, I don't understand the injustice and the evil that is all around us, and it prevails against us at every turn. Habakkuk was struggling with the evil times he was living in, and the injustice that was seemingly being ignored by God was just about more than he could understand or take. The injustice. Anybody understand where I'm coming from right now? The injustice. Like Job, Habakkuk brought his complaints and his questions directly to God. Listen, you got to get this. If somebody's nodding off, it's sitting close to you, give them a good hair shaking. You need to understand this. You need to listen to this, okay? Job, like Habakkuk, brought his questions and his complaints to God. On the flip side, Jonah, living in very similar times, instead of running to God, he ran from God. Habakkuk run to God, Jonah run from God. While God had to call on Jonah, Habakkuk called on God. Oh, come on, somebody. You're not amening me as good as I'm preaching right now, and I'm just getting started.
Let's go. Come on.
As we see the message begin to transform in Habakkuk's life, we understand that Jonah had to deal in the end of his life with a dilemma and a choice to make, while Habakkuk concluded in his story with great faith. While the majority of us today are dealing with the same thing that Habakkuk did as he brought things to God, I've heard people talk and we've discussed it among ourselves. We've tried to have the faith to see the best of our nation and the best for our nation. And yet, through that period of time, we believed with everything that was within us that the best was going to come out of the election. The very best was going to come out. And yet we have experienced evil prevailing. Violence have filled our land. The sins of our nation and those who promote socialism. Every form of ungodly and unbiblical principles have concluded without any judgment going forth or being served. That's what's hard on a lot of us. God, we don't understand why in the world all these things are happening. Our present government has signed at least 49 executive orders in just a few short days while he was in office, overturning several of our previous president's orders. And it can't help but look like that most of them was done just in spite of. Stay with me. I understand that we may question the spirituality of our former president, but we cannot question that he did stand for godly morals and basically biblical morals. And he did more for the church and God's people in the few short years he was in office than any other president has since Reagan. Again, I'm not trying to be political, okay? I just want you to understand. I'm setting the scene here. Our founding fathers and the Constitution of our country was first and foremost with him. And it's totally opposite right now. If you would read the Equality Act that has been presented by the left, you would find it repulsive and very, very scary. To those who believe in real equality, based upon the principles of God's Word, this administration is working hard to reestablish the funding of abortion and making you pay for it whether you want to or not. We are seeing that God's idea of male and female has been ground into the ground, and that there is no difference in the two genders. I beg to differ, regardless of what men may say. God knew what he was doing from the beginning.
Yes. Amen.
The southern borders have been opened up, allowing the whatever come in with no restraints. Now don't get me wrong. If they come over illegally, I welcome them with open arms. And once again, our nation has once again crawled in bed with the most foreign entities that have made us vulnerable, and the hostile nations of the United States of America is seeking to destroy this country from within. And yet what disturbs us the most is there's no consequences has yet been paid out. Stay with me, okay? And it's just exactly like Habakkuk was talking to God and asking him about God, how long am I going to have to cry out? How long am I going to see the sins of the people? How long am I going to see the circumstance and no justice? And yet, God, I'm crying out to you with everything that's within me. Does somebody relate today? We cried out to God, God. Revive us, restore us, God. Give us the election like we want. And yet, God failed to hear. Hello? You know I'm talking about you. I'm talking about me. We cried out. We prayed. We sought God. God, we need an intervention. How many prayed that prayer? God, we need an intervention. And yet God seemingly did not hear us. And that's exactly what Habakkuk was experiencing. We see people exploiting violence and iniquity. And yet it doesn't seem that anything is being done about it, and justice is not coming to be. There's not being any intervention in the matter. Habakkuk was both grieved and he was angry at the injustice as it continued. Knowing that Habakkuk had a relationship with God, why don't you listen closely. He did not question God, but he brought his questions to God. Hear me, church. He did not question God. There's a big difference. But he brought his questions to God. Unlike Jonah that ran from God, Habakkuk, even though he struggled with evil and injustice, he ran to God with his concerns and his questions. Habakkuk's name simply means to embrace. And he earned that title as he wrestled with God at the beginning of his book that brought deep intimacy with God at the end of his book. Did you get that? As he wrestled with God at the beginning of the book. God, I don't understand what's going on. I don't understand. I hate this injustice. He brought his questions to God. And at the end of the book, it brought intimacy with God. Most of us have been taught. Are you still awake?
Yes.
Most of us have been taught and even scolded a time or two about even thinking about asking God questions. But I want to assure you today, Habakkuk brought a whole new light on bringing questions to God. And completely understanding again, he did not question God, but he brought questions to God. To bring our questions and our concerns, those things that seem to confuse us, he brought them to God. And when we bring our questions, when we bring our concerns to God, those times that we are confused, we bring them to God. Church, it brings us closer to God. You know why? You know why? Listen, church. When we lack the answers, we need to run to God. When we need wisdom, we need to ask God, which the Word of God tells us. Do you realize that when Habakkuk gives specific questions to God, he actually was admitting, God, I don't know what to do, but I need your help. Sometimes in our arrogance, we act like we've got it all figured out when we need to run to the cross and say, God, here am I. I don't understand. I don't know, but I'm looking to you. Amen. He was not only seeking God, but he was asking God for insight on the matters. Listen, in verse number 5 of the first chapter, God answers Habakkuk. And just like us, sometimes when we ask God the circumstances and he answers us, it's usually, a lot of times, not usually, but a lot of times, it's not the answer we really want. God said to Habakkuk, behold, you're among the heathen, and is regarded, and you wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your day, which ye shall not believe. Are you listening to me, church? God has not forgotten you. God has not went on vacation. God's not went off on a far journey. He said, I will work a work in your day, which ye believe not. Though it be told you, you're not going to believe it. For lo, I will raise up the Chaldeans. The Chaldeans was the Babylonians. The Babylonians was a group of people that was about 50 miles from Baghdad in that day. And they was a ruthless people. And he said, I will raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nations, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity shall proceed of themselves. Are you listening to what God's telling Habakkuk? Your people is ravaging in wickedness, but I'm going to raise up a more wicked nation to judge those people. And as we know in God's word, the righteous will suffer along with the unrighteous. But God's got a plan. When God answered Habakkuk's questions, he told him he would use the Babylonians to bring justice to Judah. Habakkuk had trouble grasping hold of this, of using the Babylonians, which was an evil people. How are they going to bring judgment upon Judah when they are so much more wicked themselves than Judah is? Maybe it's just me thinking out loud, church, but it seems to me when President Trump wasn't reelected, so to speak, by the majority of the House and Senate went the other way, speaking of the liberals taking control, perhaps we felt a lot like Habakkuk. Are you understanding where I'm coming from? Habakkuk had trouble wrapping his head around all those circumstances. How many of you had trouble wrapping your head around the circumstances? We didn't get the president we wanted back in that was bringing a dollar and a dime gasoline, and now it's $3 a gallon, among all the other things. And the okay, I said I wouldn't get political. All the other things. And we see that it seems like that every evil is prevailing in those places that we so sought righteousness for. I have trouble wrapping my head around that. Is anybody else with me? I have trouble understanding all of that. But that's exactly where Habakkuk was. Are you with me? Can I chase a rabbit here for just a second? I don't believe it's been just the coronavirus that has kept people from coming back to church. But perhaps another segment of it is the very concept of evil controlling every aspect of our country. Maybe people are saying, what is the use? Why is there even an issue of standing up for and fighting justice anymore? Perhaps we kind of have the same concept that Habakkuk did when he said, how can the unrighteous judge the righteous? Why in the world do I need to try anymore? I prayed, I've sought God with everything that's within me, and everything's went backwards. Everything's went totally the opposite direction. Stay with me, church. Stay with me, okay? In verse number 12 of chapter 1, Habakkuk was concerned about God's name and character even being diminished. Hey, we know. Those of you that 40 and up, our history books taught us that this nation was founded on God. Now they're eliminating history books and says it has anything to do with God. Or trying to. And Habakkuk was concerned about God's name and His character. Are we going to allow the wicked people of Babylon to destroy your people? God, that's what Habakkuk was saying. God, will you allow the wicked to get ahead and rule while those who are following you suffer from injustice and abuse? Yet while we do not question God's ability or His authority, we often struggle to understand His plan. Oh, you missed a good one right there. You missed a good opportunity to give a good hearty amen. Thank you, Brother Aaron. Can I say it again? While we do not question God's ability or authority, I've heard people say, well, I know God can. While we do not question His ability and His authority, we often struggle to understand what He's doing. His plan. Habakkuk was definitely where we are. Or we are exactly where Habakkuk was. We do not understand why the wicked are seemingly gaining all the control, making all the rules and thriving, while the godly are succumbing with the heavy load and the burden of that wickedness. And like Habakkuk, we need to bring our questions and our concerns to God. Not run from them. No. You don't run from them. You bring them to God. And again, when we're open and honest and we talk to God, it builds relationship. Hello? How many wants a relationship, a deep relationship with God? Yeah. It brings us ties close to Him. That's why Habakkuk said in chapter 2, verse number 1, see, chapter 1 kind of gives us that picture as Habakkuk brings his questions to God and God responds to him, this is my plan, this is what I'm going to do. Habakkuk's kind of scratching his head, I really don't understand God, but I believe you. And he said in chapter 2, verse number 1, I will stand on the watchtower. And I will watch and I will see what you're going to do, God. And in verse 3, God said, you do that and write the vision down and make it plain because I am God and I will do what I said I will do. Oh, come on, somebody. Write it down and make it plain. And Habakkuk said, I'm going to stand on the tower and I'm going to watch what you do, God. I believe you. God said, you better write it down, make it plain because I'm going to bring it to pass. And those who read it will know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I, God Almighty, has spoken. Listen, are you ready? Amen. We're about ready to have revival. How many's ready to have revival? Amen. God said to him specifically in verse number 3, He said, it is for an appointed time. Oh, come on, church, listen to me. It's for an appointed time. It does not mean it's going to last forever. It's just for an appointed time. It was an appointed time for the people of Judah to get their stuff together. God has given us an appointed time. He will deliver. He will bring it to pass. God's plan we may not understand, but God knows and He will do it justly. So let's understand. Just as Habakkuk seeing Judah being judged by the unrighteous nation, he recognized and realized after God said it's only for a time. Come on, somebody. Preach with me. Come on. Just as what we're going through, church, I tell you, according to God's word, it's just for a time. And whether God will intervene for us while we're here or He takes us out of here, it's just for a time. It's just for a time. For those who are faithful will see deliverance. Those who are faithful will see deliverance. My Lord, my God, I wish that this place was packed this morning, not to hear me, but to hear what thus saith God. It is only for a time, and He will bring righteousness, and He will deliver. Those who are faithful. Verse number 4 of the second chapter, we see the fact that though things around about us are not right, they are unfair, and they justly seem, and justice seems so far away. God proclaimed that the just shall live by faith. Listen, God will do what's right. God will do what's right. And He will bring justice. He will bring judgment. But it's those that live godly according to Christ Jesus, and by faith we stand upon His word, we will see the redemption of His people. We will see the redemption of His people. Amen, amen. God proclaimed that the just shall live by faith. We've all heard it said many times. It's not the one that runs the fastest. It's not the one who starts out first. But it's the one that endures to the end. You know what endurance means? That's something that's foreign to so many people today. Endurance. We don't have the endurance we used to have. We don't like our job and we go find another one real quick. We don't like our marriage, we go find another one real quick. And end up more shape than it was we started with. We don't know what endurance is, but I'm here to tell you, as a Christian, as a child of God, there is endurance that must come in your life. Endurance. Endurance means the ability to withstand hardship or adversity. That's endurance. Especially the ability to sustain, prolong stressful endurance, stressful efforts and activity. That's endurance. Hey, I'm fixing to preach now, okay? Are you ready? Give me about 15 to 20 minutes, but I'm fixing to preach to you right now. Even though there's things we don't understand, and we don't understand the plan of God, does not mean that God has forsaken us. And it does not mean that God has forsaken us or left us astray. Even though things has not turned out like we wanted and prayed for, we have prayed and we have tried our best to have faith. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
It does not mean that it's over. No. You missed it. I said it does not mean that it's over. Though this adversity, we must have the endurance. We must hang in there no matter what. Somebody say no matter what. And believe and have faith in God that He will take care of things.
Amen.
There's none of us. I've heard people say, man, I have faith. I just can't believe things went the way they did. Listen, there's a lot of things that we know was done wrongfully. But I know a God that will make it right. He will make it right. And there's none of us that can fully grasp God's method of dealing with the world that's around us. We don't understand, right? Or if you do, please see me after service. We don't understand how God's dealing with things, but I can tell you today beyond a shadow of a doubt that God truly is the great I Am. And He truly does govern the affairs of mankind. Oh, listen to me, church. Listen to me. You need to really, really get down with me now and preach and say amen, because I'm telling you the word of God. I said the great I Am who governs the affairs of mankind. He measures the waters of the sea in the palm of His hands. By the way, He weighs the mountains and the hills in His scales. He has every sparrow He sees it fall to the ground. He has every hair on your head that is numbered. And to grasp His methods on how He does things is uncomprehendable. Oh, but God's still God. He knows and He still will bring deliverance. Because everything is under His control. You can rest assured that nothing, I said nothing, gets past Him. So I urge you today with everything that's within me, stay faithful, church. Stay faithful, church. Stay faithful. Habakkuk 2 and 4 said, behold, his soul was still grieved, and he said, behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him. Habakkuk was speaking of the children of Judah that was doing wrong and of Babylon. He said those that are proud, those that the enemy has puffed himself up and they are unright within themselves. But he said, but the just shall live by faith. It does not matter what the rest of the world is doing. You live by the word of God. Chapter 3, verse 1. A prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet of Shechemoth. Excuse me, I'm about to really get excited. Can I have a swig of water? You know what a swig is, don't you? That's just a skosh. He said, a prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet of Shechemoth. I practiced that over and over and over before I could say it. But Shechemoth, listen, prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet. Are you ready to shout? In verse 2, he said, O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive. Somebody say, revive. Thy works in the midst of the years, and in the midst of years make known in wrath, receive mercy. Shechemoth means to praise with strong emotion and a passion of triumph and victory. Are we Pentecost or what?
Yes.
I may not be able to say it very plain, Brother Rodney, but I know what it means.
Amen.
Did you all get a hold of that?
Yes.
Shechemoth. Somebody say Shechemoth.
Shechemoth.
Oh, hallelujah. It means to praise with a strong emotion. That's Pentecostal. We like emotions. Can somebody say glory? We like emotions. It's this praising God with a strong emotion. A passion of triumph. And triumph means to win a battle. Habakkuk was saying, will God do a work in me in the middle of my life? Will He come in the middle of my confusion? Will He come in the middle of me not understanding? In the middle of me not knowing what to do? God, will You still revive me? Let Your will be made known unto me in all that You're about to do, and let justice come the way of the ungodly and unjust people. Let Your mercy follow Your people, and let us see the works of Thy hands. God, if it's Your will to bring the Babylonians on us and to bring justice, Lord, let it be. God, if it's Your will for our Congress and Senate and our presidency to go the way it did, God, if that's Your will, let it be, God. But let the justice and the mercy fall upon Your people. You can rest assured that the latter of Habakkuk's talk with God resonated his spirit and brought new life to his confidence in God in the midst of his struggles. Can I say that again? I said you can rest assured that Habakkuk's latter talk with God, it resonated. There's something within his spirit that rose up. It brought new life and new confidence in his God in the midst of his struggle. Listen to me, church. And for the second time, I'm bringing conclusion to this message today. But I want you to hear the latter part of this for sure. In Habakkuk 3, 17 and 19 through 19, it says, although Habakkuk's with all of this stuff, God, I don't understand why just injustice has prevailed. I don't understand Your plan. But Habakkuk said, that's beside the point. Although the fig tree does not blossom, neither shall the fruit be in the vine, the labor of the olive shall fail, the fields shall have no meat, The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stall. Listen, listen, Habakkuk was just like you. He was filled with confusion and wonder and did not understand. But he said in verse 18, "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord is my strength. He will make my feet like hinds' feet. He will make me to walk in high places. To the chief singer of my stringed instruments," he said, "God will be God." All right, I'm concluding. Chris, go ahead and y'all come to the piano. It'll make everybody feel better. I think we need to take a good look at what Habakkuk was experiencing and realize, listen to me, they know their way up there. You listen to me. We need to realize what he was experiencing and what he had discovered. Are you ready for this? Are you ready for this? Habakkuk learned that joy comes from the inside out, not the outside in. I said Habakkuk learned that joy comes from the inside out, not the outside in. He was telling us that even though things didn't work out like he anticipated or desired, I'm still going to give God praise. Habakkuk was saying to his people and was saying to us, even where we are right now, if my garden doesn't produce, I'm still going to praise God. If I don't get a raise on my job, I'm still going to praise God. If I steal, I'm still going to praise God. If the government goes to pot, I'm still going to praise God. If they fail to recognize the Constitution of God in the United States, I'm still going to praise God. Habakkuk realized that his strength was in the Lord, and joy that he's talking about isn't a response from what happened on the outside of man, but it's a response of him walking on the inside of that individual. Glory to God. I'm telling you what right now, if we don't have revival, it ain't nobody's fault but yours. Listen, listen. You do not have to understand what God's doing to know that He's doing what's right. And to trust Him. At the beginning of Habakkuk's story, Habakkuk was perplexed. But after talking to God, he grasped God's concept of how God would handle the affairs of the world, not understanding what he's going to do, but just knowing that he does and will do it. Habakkuk now has the confidence and the poise to be what it needs to be the prophet in the house of Judah. While he once was perplexed, now he has peace. When he once felt confusion, he now experiences contentment. When he once felt fear, he now has risen to the place that faith in the future, that God has a plan for him and his people. Are you ready for this? Are you ready? Here's the kicker. God does not change. Our faith has to get to a place that it's unmovable. And the only thing that can change is your perspective on how God's going to do it. God does not change. Your faith cannot waver. The only thing that needs to change is your perspective that God will take care of it. Listen, church, the better you know God, the closer you get to Him, the easier it is that you can sincerely repeat the words of the passage that I'm fixing to tell you from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6. Because you know, your strength does not lie in man's ability, but your strength lies in the arms of God. 1 Corinthians 2:16, that your faith shall not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of Almighty God. So what have we learned from Habakkuk? We've learned that we must learn to wait before we react. We cannot react on what we see. We react on what we know. We need to learn to acknowledge our limitations and seek Him with all of our hearts. We need not be ashamed of asking questions and our concerns, giving them to God. We learn to listen to the voice of God and develop an intimate relationship with Him, knowing to rejoice in every circumstance because we know that God is in control. Would you stand with me?